The big question? Will today mark the beginning of a serious carbon reduction plan?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today in Cancun, Mexico, leaders from all over the planet are gathered to try again on an agreement to cut carbon emissions. Many of those same leaders met a year ago with no success. There's not much hope for this year, but negotiators do see some bright spots. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Eve Tro is in Cancun for the conference, and she's with us this morning. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
Hey, catch us up. Where did things leave off from Copenhagen last year?
They left off with some dashed hopes. People really wanted to see a price set and a binding limit on carbon pollution around the world. That didn't happen. What we did get was a promise from wealthier developed countries to give money to developing countries to help them out with climate change. They promised $30 billion by next year and $100 billion by 2020. In Copenhagen, we also saw world leaders sign a letter saying what they would do for climate change in their own countries. That's not backed by law, but it is something in writing, and that showed some progress.
And so where does Cancun pick up, Eve?
No one here is even talking about catching that big fish. That would be the legally binding global agreement on carbon. Instead, the goal is to sort of fill in some of those details from the commitment signed in Copenhagen last year, like this money going from rich countries to poorer ones. How will the UN set up a fund for that, and who will run it? One expert I talked to yesterday also called this a more normal climate conference compared to last year. That might seem like a letdown, but we are talking about a global deal on carbon, which would essentially steer the entire world economy away from fossil fuels. So slow grinding change is just the reality on that for now.
Slow grinding. All right. Marketplace's Eve Tro from Cancun. Eve, thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, on our website today, we launched the Green Tip and Trade. With more than 100 ideas for reducing energy and water use, head over to marketplace.org. European stocks are lower at the moment, even though trading's light. Markets are waiting on U.S. economic data that comes out later in the week, and investors not really satisfied with the $113 billion Irish bailout approved. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tumbled 95 points to end the week at 11,092. The Dow lost 1% last week. Next time you make a call on that cell phone, think about this. The amount of data passing through U.S. wireless networks doubles every year. People are using their phones for things such as YouTube videos and Facebook uploading, and all that surfing is using more and more of your mobile system's bandwidth, at least 75% and growing. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Data traffic on cell phone networks will hit an exabyte by the end of the year. Now, that word probably doesn't mean much to you, but it's more than 18,000 times the amount of information contained in all the books ever written. Chetan Sharma is a cell phone industry analyst.
What's happening is the pace with which the devices, our broadband devices, are coming into the market has accelerated.
And Sharma says it's not just phones that are hooking into mobile phone networks.
Any device that can be broadband enabled will be broadband enabled.
Cars and cameras and toys are connecting. To keep up, cell phone companies are going to have to build new networks at a breakneck pace. Customers are going to have to get used to drop calls and capped data plans. And ultimately, Sharma says the FCC will need to sell more spectrum to carry the load. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at MassMutual.com.
The video game industry has become one of the fastest growing sectors in entertainment, worth billions of dollars. The French buy more video games than anybody else other than the U.S., Britain, and Japan. And France's government is trying to cultivate the video game industry with tax breaks. From Paris, reporter Daniel Finnan has more.
More than 120,000 people visited Paris's first Computer Games Week at the end of October. Los Angeles, Cologne, and Tokyo host similar events. And France does not want to be left behind its international competitors in this lucrative field. But trade unions say it just might, though not for lack of talent.
And in France, we have between 5,000 to 7,000 people which are producing games.
Stéphane Nadkin is the founder of the French National School of Games and Interactive Media.
I think everybody, even the political of both sides, right and left, knows that games is something which is very important and that they have to support and understand.
The French government gives 20% tax relief on games produced by French studios. But many firms in the industry say taxes are too high. John Parks is the managing director of France's biggest video game developer, Ubisoft. He says a 20% tax incentive isn't enough to keep French game developers in the country.
In Canada, it can be anything up to 50%.
Ubisoft employs more than 6,000 people worldwide and produces games such as the popular Assassin's Creed series. Parks says it needs tax breaks so it can pay the top-class games programmers it needs to stay competitive and innovative.
And innovation means you need the best people with the best ideas and the best quality, ultimately, in developing your games.
It's not certain that Parks and his colleagues will get the expanded tax breaks they're looking for. But the video game industry has some important supporters here. President Nicolas Sarkozy has described it as a strategic growth area for France and one with the potential to become a major art form in the 21st century. In Paris, I'm Daniel Finan for Marketplace.
And finally, one Japanese fruit company says a good way to quickly ripen bananas is to play Mozart around them. The company recently sold a bunch of bananas ripened to Mozart's String Quartet 17 and Piano Concerto 5 in D major. Another company is experimenting with playing Mozart while brewing sake. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Recession and recovery often make people yearn for simpler times, and that applies to the gifts we give during the holidays. Could be a season of homemade.
A lot of people, they're spending a lot more time at home, and they're getting back to an old hobby just so, you know, they're not so depressed listening to the news.
I'm Tess Vigeland, humorist Amy Sedaris on Handicrafts and More, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.